You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
We return to Florida now for the rest of the hour. The voting begins in the GOP primary tomorrow morning. And we have really today to think about not only the candidates and not only the political rhetoric that we've heard so far, but really, this is a profile of a diverse state providing the first test of the national message of the Republican challenge to President Barack Obama. It's that important. How diverse is Florida? And politically, that's significant because America is also diverse. But how diverse is Florida? Well, Jacksonville is about as far from Miami's South Beach as Duluth is from Honolulu. Pensacola is as different from Tampa as San Antonio is from Ann Arbor. And Orlando is as different from Fort Myers as Las Vegas is from Indianapolis. But don't take my word for it. We got two voices to engage this conversation here. Sergio Bustos, state politics editor at the Miami Herald. Sergio, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Oh, welcome. Thank you.
And Reed Teixeira is a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and the author of Red, Blue, and Purple America, The Future of Election Demographics. Reed, good morning.
Good to be here.
So let's talk about the many planets in Florida, the many different places. I alluded to the diversity in mentioning a few cities. How do you see the diversity?
The diversity in Florida? Well, I mean, I think if you you can kind of, one way to think about it is just go from the bottom of Florida up, and you sort of get from the more liberal areas to the more heavily minority areas to the less liberal and less heavily minority areas. So Miami metro is the most heavily minority and also the most liberal area. You go a little bit north, and you get to the I-4 corridor. It's probably the most important part of Florida. It's 37% of the statewide vote. It's got the Orlando and Tampa metros, and it's somewhat less minority and somewhat less liberal, but it's more of a swing region and the area where, you know, both the Obama campaign and the presumed Romney campaign will be, I think, fighting the most vigorously to carry that area. It's an area that's changing very rapidly demographically. It's got, you know, sort of pretty much all the growth in that area, particularly in the big metros, is from minority voters. The white working class is declining. You have more white college graduate voters, so it's becoming a much more cosmopolitan area. And then you keep on going north. You get to the Jacksonville metro, which is the least sort of liberal of the big metros in Florida. Then if you kind of swing around there and go west to the panhandle, you get to the most conservative and whitest part of Florida.
And there's also within that a certain amount of granularity. Fort Myers, for instance, is one of the ground zero cities in the housing crisis with the very particular issues. Tell me about Fort Myers.
Well, Fort Myers is everything you say it is. I mean, it's not a particularly great area for the Democrats. So it's possible the housing crisis there may actually push them farther away from the Democrats because they're resentful about it. On the other hand, maybe their level of economic anxiety will make them more susceptible to Obama's message. We'll just have to see. I mean, how it's going to play out, I mean, it is such a huge and diverse state, as you say. We not only have the large metros I was mentioning, but, you know, obviously places like Fort Myers and, you know, there could be 12 or 15 of these smaller metros that have a half a million or more in population. And all of them will be important in the coming election.
Let's talk about one other that statistically it seems to be important, but I don't know how it necessarily plays. You mentioned Miami-Dade County as being particularly liberal and a large minority population or immigrant population or, you know, Latino population, depending on how you want to play it out there. But also the suburbs in South Florida all around Miami-Dade have their own politics, and often it's in opposition to what goes on in Miami-Dade. Explain how that works.
Well, that's a classic pattern we see in these large metros, which lean toward the Democrats, is the most aggressively Democratic is going to be in the center county of the metro, where it's more urbanized, you have a heavier minority population, and then as you move out into the suburbs, things tend to get a bit more conservative. But if you look at the metro as a whole, it tends to lean toward the Democrats. So a typical pattern, in a way, the battle between Republicans and Democrats in a lot of these big metros comes down to how far out in the suburbs you're going to draw the dividing line between Democratic and Republican strength. Sort of the battle between the parties is the Democrats are trying to move that that battle line, that 50-50 line, as far out into the suburbs as possible, and the Republicans are trying to push it in toward the urban core of the metro area. So that seesaw battle typically defines sort of the magnitude of the Democratic margin in some of these metros.
All right,
The Democrats really need to push up that margin as high as possible in a metro like Miami.
Well, I've got a very colorful map in my brain right now thinking about these issues. One more thing before we go to Sergio Bustos and talk a little bit about the politics of this. Would you say that Central Florida, that 37% corridor from Orlando to Tampa, is the area of Florida, the population of Florida, the demographic of Florida that's most like, say, the Midwest or the Heartland or say, the non-urban Southwest?
Well, I would say in the sense that it's swingish, as we've been discussing, but I think there's an important difference, and that's that the rate of demographic change is so much higher in the I-4 corridor than it is in most of the Midwest, which is, despite its swing character and despite the fact that the level of minority voters is not that high, is actually changing. It's changing relatively slowly. But in the I-4 corridor, you have, this rapid rate of change that's transforming the area and making it, in a sense, ever more sympathetic to arguably Democratic appeals because of the rapid growth of minority voters. So the I-4 corridor is like 48 points more Democratic in the 2008 election than it was in the 1988 election, which
Amazing.
Is really an extraordinary swing.
That is an extraordinary swing. Rui Teixeira is a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, speaking with us from Washington, D.C. Sergio Bustos, state politics editor at the Miami Herald. He's on the line from South Florida. All right. React to anything you've just heard, Sergio, and put it into the political context of what you've been hearing in the campaign rhetoric so far.
I can't disagree with anything. I think I'll put it into just simple terms down here. We've elected Debbie Wasserman Schultz down here, a liberal Jewish Democrat, and we've elected Alan West down here, a conservative black Republican. And then we have three lawmakers down here who speak and campaign and send out press releases in Spanish and in English. So that explains to you kind of the diversity of even South Florida, let alone the rest of the state.
What do you think the metrics are going to be in the primary on Tuesday? Whether Romney or Gingrich or Santorum or Ron Paul win, I'm admittedly a long shot there, what are the metrics going to be that suggest Florida is really enthusiastic about the Republican challenge to Barack Obama, and what might indicate that, in fact, the Democrats have a real chance here in Florida once again?
I think it's going to be the real fight ahead lies with the economy. Although there's been a lot of noise here on television over immigration, over this Freddie Mac attack that Romney's done on Gingrich, and the kind of the personality fight between the two, I think really it's going to come down to the jobs and the economy. Much like the governor won a couple years ago, his slogan was quite straightforward and simple, but let's get back to work, or let's get to work was the slogan. And I think that's going to be the slogan and the what voters here are going to look for because of the foreclosure crisis and because of the high unemployment rate.
Sergio Bustos, state politics editor at the Miami Herald, speaking with us from South Florida. We'll check in with you tomorrow, Sergio, or at least Wednesday morning for sure. Rui Teixeira is a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. All right, I'm going to run it down in my brain. Romney wins the I-4 corridor, yes, no?
Yes.
Okay, Romney wins, Gingrich wins the panhandle?
Maybe.
Maybe. Santorum could win the panhandle?
It's just Gingrich, I think, is in such free fall. I'm hesitant to project him winning anywhere. But if he does win, the panhandle seems like the right place.
Ron Paul wins Key Largo.
I don't know. I think he won't win anything.
Well, the numbers are very interesting. So you're predicting a Romney victory.
Yeah, and a comfortable one, I think, at this point.
All right, Rui Teixeira, and that would be very different from what happened in 2008. Rui Teixeira is a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, taking us through the many planets in the solar system called the Sunshine State. It'll be very much on display tomorrow as voters go to the polls for the Florida primary. Sergio Bustos also joined us. He's state's politics editor at the Miami Herald. A diverse state weighs in the GOP primary. Thanks to both of you.